Pippa Jones on TRE.
And without further ado, I'm going to get straight on to the programme. I only have one show a week now, and I'm delighted to welcome to this programme Tony Gosling from the United Kingdom. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Pippa. Nice to speak to you again.
Thank you indeed, and it's always a pleasure to have you on. Lots to get through, not very long to do so let's crack on. And I would like to start by asking you to analyse the curious appearance of one ex-British Prime Minister called Tony Blair. He's a ex-Labour leader turned Middle East peace envoy, which seems a contradiction in terms, does it not, Tony?
Hang on a minute. This guy, is he not in jail? I thought he was at the International Criminal Court. I thought had jailed him for war crimes, for starting an illegal war, for causing the deaths of something like 1 million people, and about 2 million being displaced out of their country in Iraq. Is he still out?
He is, and the ongoing fallout of that is what's terribly shocking, isn't it?
Well, the incredible thing for me, seeing Blair on again, is the way that he's being reported uncritically, virtually, by the Western media. You know, this is the thing. I don't know what it's been like in Spain, but certainly over here, it's just been, oh, here's Tony Blair, he's a respected former Prime Minister. No, hang on a minute. Nobody really in Britain that I've spoken, you know, that I speak to, maybe there's a handful in the newsrooms, I don't know, but nobody respects Tony Blair. I mean, he basically betrayed Labour values when people voted Labour back in 1997, although of course there were some very positive things that the Blair government did, that seemed to be largely despite Tony Blair rather than because of him.
Absolutely.
I mean, we had the Good Friday Agreement, the peace agreement in Northern Ireland, which was largely Mo Molem's doing.
Mo Molem, absolutely.
So very, very important. But the foreign policy disasters, and also the privatisation and the public private finance initiative things that were kicked off by the Blair government have been a real disaster. I mean, basically cooking up trouble for the future. So what disappoints me is the way he's not criticised. I mean, yes, let him have his say from jail if necessary.
Oh, yeah.
But there should be some balanced criticism from other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Blair has devastated, and we didn't see that at all, really, here in Britain.
That's absolutely how I read it, Tony. Is just, you know, how is this man given a platform? He turned up at Bloomberg's HQ in London, delivering what's been referred to as a keynote speech, and without really any credentials whatsoever. And Sky News air it, the BBC air it, and nobody questions it, as you've said.
Well, I think the viewers do, and we're getting towards that sort of slightly Stalinist media in Britain, where you're getting this stuff coming through on the news and you think to yourself, hang on a minute, you know, pinch myself, am I dreaming? What is this guy back again? But I mean, you know, he is a serious war criminal, probably one of the most dangerous, you know, in the world, actually, if you look at what he's done compared to others, and I mean particularly to do with the you know, the bombing of Kosovo and stuff at in the late 1990s. I mean, Blair was right in the middle of all this stuff. And he actually looks slightly uncomfortable. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday this week when he was on the telly. He looks slightly, I don't know, like he wasn't quite there. If you were to wave your hand in front of his face, that maybe he would just keep staring through it. You know?
He does look very glassy-eyed, doesn't he?
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Something very, very weird about the guy.
Yeah.
And they can put people like this on the telly and expect people to take them seriously, really. Says more about our media than almost anything else. I mean, you know, obviously the other thing that's been big this week, just yesterday, is this business in the Ukraine too. I don't know if Blair has, you know, something to say about that. If he does, I wouldn't be listening. But, you know, what you've got is you've got a very, very sensitive situation brewing up here. It makes what was going on in the Middle East look a bit more like a sideshow when you've got Ukrainians fighting each other. And also the government troops from Kiev turning their guns on their own people. Well, we haven't heard that, have we? You know, we heard it when in Syria and in Libya. Oh dear, you know, these people are killing their own people. Well, that's what's happening, I'm afraid, in Ukraine. But that's not the line that's being taken.
Why is that, Tony? Why is the coverage by the media? You know, is it because the Ukraine's on our doorstep, or is it because of the agenda behind this?
Well, actually, somebody I know is a blogger, and in fact you get some amazing stuff on the blogs these days, has pointed out that something called the Ukraine Crisis Media Centre, which most of the Western media have been going to for contacts over there and for stories, based in Kiev, well, he has exposed that it's actually just a public relations firm that was set up basically to manage the news in Ukraine. They're called PRP, this company, and yet it's being put forward as some kind of independent media center that's sprung out of nowhere. Well, who's paying the salaries of the people? Who's paying the bills? They've taken over a large part of a floor in one of the big hotels in Kiev. So, you know, you can see as you start to drill down into how this news is reaching us, it's actually spin. It's not news. And what's happening is that a lot of the Western press are just simply taking this as it is without criticizing it, without looking at where these lines are coming from, where the stories are coming from. And all the focus, of course, has been on the east of Ukraine, because that's where the occupations are of big buildings. And let me also say, I think if we were to have fascists, even Nazis, actually open Nazis, people who've got pictures of SS generals on their walls from the right sector in Ukraine taking over our home office here in Britain or the interior ministry in countries, you would see, I think, people out on the streets here in Britain and in Spain. You know, if that's what's happened in Ukraine, is we've got a government which is obviously is run by a banker, you know, rest of Europe being run by, it seems, by Goldman Sachs. You know, it's not exactly strange that the EU should wish to put a banker in charge of Ukraine. But you know, those are the people that seem to be running things over there, and so they've got the banking and finance people in the top seats, but in some of the most important jobs, like their security services, their version of MI5 and the police, they have the far right people, and that is really a recipe for disaster. We've just heard from Voice of Russia as well today that Greystone, which is a US private military company, is in aiding the Ukrainians. Now, whether that's just the Ukrainians buying some services in, if you could call them that, from the US military, former military, I mean, it's one of the most dangerous things that's happened since World War II, is the privatization of the military. So we're seeing a Blackwater-style company going into now to aid the Ukrainians. I mean, this is what's happened in Iraq, too, and Afghanistan, is as our official troops are withdrawn, what very often happens is private companies, that is to say people like Kellogg Brown Root, who do reconstruction, actually lots and lots of problems with them for all sorts of reasons, of criminality and links to organized crime. But look, you know, the real problem is when you've got private military going into these places, and nobody in the Western media wants to talk about it. I can remember on Five Live a couple of years ago, there was a big announcement, we're going to have somebody from one of these private military companies on the show today. Now, guess what? The item was never appeared on the show, because there's an immense sensitivity about private military companies. And these are the people, of course, they're all covered by commercial confidentiality. They will not talk to the press about what they're doing, but they're largely taking over the privatization of the military, where the official military have finished, given up. And that seems to be what's now going on in the east of Ukraine, is there's a very great sensitivity, as there would be in Britain. If British troops were told to fire on British people, then I don't think that they would be too happy about that. So what happens is the Ukrainian government in Kiev is now bringing in these Greystone characters, these private military people, to do the dirty work. And they clearly do not want an election. This is what yesterday has told us. The Kiev government, if they're going to send the troops in on their own people, whatever they're up to, even if they're occupying a building, if you're going to send the army in, then you don't want an election. And I think that's actually what's going on here, is that there's a provocation, number one, to try and get the Russians to come in, which I don't think they'll actually do, because that would possibly be the beginning of the Third World War, because the Americans would then be justified coming into Ukraine as well, and NATO. So you've got that on the one hand, and then you've got, on the other hand, you've got, you know, as I was just saying,
And yet the rhetoric is all, of course, from the Americans' spokesperson, if you like, John Kerry, is all, of course, that Russia is responsible for all the posturing and for the potential to bringing this point to a war, to a point of war. John Kerry also criticised, perhaps, you know, we take our news from where we want, where we can, and we have to, as intelligent people, assimilate what we can from different sources. RT is an absolutely justified news source, Russia Today. It's, of course, demonised by the Western media. John Kerry has actually gone out and attacked RT, hasn't he, in a bid to garner more support for the coverage that he wants us to believe.
Well, that's absolutely right. And RT, to be fair, have had a go at the American press. I mean, they've been saying that they've been using photos that they shouldn't have been using, that art were fixed and faked. And so there is a bit of a media war going on. But look, let's just focus on Kerry for a minute. This guy was involved in the failed bid for the presidency years ago, when he was running against George W. Bush, Bush being the Republican, him being the Democrat candidate. Yeah. But look, this guy is in this Skull and Bones society with George W. Bush, and this is an elite society at Yale University, which really can only be described as one of the most powerful secret societies in America. People from this secret society at Yale who are tapped, that is to say, tapped on the shoulder and told, it's an invite-only club, basically, at Yale, with its temple of something called the Tomb on the campus of Yale University. And, you know, this is what bothers me, is you've got this kind of occultic angle to Kerry. He is one of the most, or the least trustworthy people in regards to looking after the interests of the American people. What he is close to is his fellow cult members from the Skull and Bones. That is to say, big business, finance in the United States, and most important of all, the military-industrial complex. Those are the people that make their money producing weapons, manufacturing weapons, and make money from war. So he's out there, not as an ambassador for the U.S. people. He's out there as an ambassador for the American arms industry, and if he can get himself a war going, there'll be a lot of people who'll be patting him on the back.
Absolutely.
Thanks very much. We're going to have rising profits. Now, this is somebody who's not acting in the interests of Europeans or American people at all. He's just acting in his own private friend's interests from the Skull and Bones Society. I mean, if your listeners haven't heard of it, just check it out. It's one of the most frightening things you'll ever see, that all these people in the United States, part of this society, some of them have blown the whistle. They've left and said, we want nothing more to do this. This is absolutely a disgusting organisation. And it's one of the main reasons why America is not a democracy anymore, Pippa.
I would repeat, actually, to the listeners, do Google it, because it's very worth looking at. I've got a caller, I hope you don't mind, Tony, who's been waiting patiently. Hello, please go ahead.
Oh, hi, it's Bertha here.
Hello, good morning.
Just going back to Blair, which links with Kelly,
yeah,
and Bush, and the war machine that they're all part of. I listened to Kelly on Stephen Rixon this morning, and what he said, if you listen very carefully, makes no logical sense whatsoever. It's gobbledygook, but it's rhetoric that stirs up trouble and nothing more. But if you listen carefully to the words that he uses, they make no sense whatsoever. A complete hypocrisy when you've got the deputy president going in just before Kelly and making a speech, and they then forget that the very thing they're condemning, they have allowed Israel to do for decades.
Tony, answer that point. Great point.
Well, I think a lot of the what we're hearing from the so-called leaders, I mean, and they are kind of almost put in place by big business and by the banking sector. You know, they have an immense amount of clout, the financial people. Is absolute gobbledygook. You're absolutely right, and it doesn't actually stand up to any criticism. Now, just imagine, right? First of all, one of the things we're absolutely sure about is that the Americans, because it was an elite phone call, spent billions of pounds on fermenting trouble in Ukraine, basically actually paying people to go out on the streets and do protests before Christmas and after Christmas. Now, these are ordinary, innocent people, but many of them were actually paid by CIA money, billions, Victoria Nuland has admitted on a bugged phone call. You know, we've spent billions on this, yeah? So given that, you know, what you can see is that the Russians are really annoyed about this. What are you doing? Imagine if Vladimir Putin had spent billions of rubles in getting people out onto the streets in Canada, for example, in Montreal, Toronto, and places like that, to have a revolution in Canada. Would the Americans be happy with that? No, they wouldn't. Also, in Britain, if we had, for example, fascists, Nazis, in the positions of power in the police, in Britain, would people in Britain sit down and take that? No, of course they wouldn't. You know, this is why you've got a genuine uprising in the east of Ukraine. If people are saying, no, we are not having Nazis back in this country again, and fascists in some of these key positions. So, really, I don't think Kerry has got a leg to stand on. And we've got to question, how on earth is this man there representing any of our interests whatsoever? He's not. He's representing NATO's interests, which, by the way, your listeners may be interested to hear, Paul Hauser, he was an SS Corps general in the Second World War. He then took over after the war. He was released, and then he took over the role of the commandant of the veterans group for the SS in Germany after the war. That is in the 1950s and 1960s. Paul Hauser said that NATO was, and this is to quote him exactly, the original meetings of NATO were set up from the international supporters of the SS. And that's coming from, he may not be telling the truth, but that's what he said. This is an SS general from World War II. So NATO has definitely got some connections, according to someone who was in the position to know about it, with the SS. And also, through Operation Gladio, was running fascist groups in Europe. And for example, in Italy, and in Germany, and in Belgium, and in Switzerland, there were public inquiries into this, and we know for a fact, it's not a conspiracy theory, it's a fact, that NATO intelligence in Brussels was blowing up people, killing innocent people in supermarket massacres, in the Bologna railway station bombing, in the Birkenau massacre in Germany, and blaming it on Russia, and Russia saying Russia was supporting, the Soviet Union was supporting leftists in, you know, the Baader-Meinhof gang, these kind of people, Action Direct in Belgium, and the Red Brigades in Italy, were all being supported financially and militarily by the Soviet Union. But actually, these were fascist operations, all run by NATO intelligence in Brussels. Check this stuff out. You'll find there's a very good BBC documentary, actually, from 1992 about Operation Gladio. And, you know, this is why I think the Russians are getting a bit annoyed. Hang on a minute. If we were to be doing this stuff to you, you know, what would you say to it?
And Sergei Lavrov, of course, the Russian foreign minister, said a couple of days ago that the Ukrainian operation against separatists in the east of the country was a bloody crime, inverted commas, for which the government in Kiev would face justice. What do you think he means by
that? Well, I mean, I think actually the public opinion will swing against this new government in Kiev. Right? I mean, in fact, it already is.
Even a government, is it, Tony? This. Let's be clear about that.
Sorry?
It's not actually a government.
Well, they are trying to be the government, they see themselves as a legitimate government, even though they arrived, you know, at the point of a gun, and many of the Party of the Regions people were actually threatened at gunpoint when they took over in their coup back in February. But, you know, it's the court of public opinion that a lot of these things will be decided, and that's why the media has been such an important tool of Kerry and people like that, and why we've seen Blair being rolled out, you know, like an old dinosaur, is because that's what's happening. It's a battle for hearts and minds, and nobody can now say seriously that the Kiev government wants to have an election, because that's what everyone in Ukraine desperately needs now.
And Tony,
you know, when you're in the situation where you've got armed factions fighting each other, we need to be clear, what do the people actually really want? The only way you can do that is through referendums and elections. Now, we've got an election scheduled for next month, and if the government is then sending the troops in, what they're saying is, actually, we don't really care that much about the election. We're going to fight it out at the point of a gun. And no wonder people are coming out of their homes, coming off of Facebook and coming out onto the streets. I think they would be doing that in any country where fascists were taking over their central government.
And just before I let you go, Tony, going back to Tony Blair then, do you think that Tony Blair has been wheeled out at this point for a particular reason? Because in terms of the timing of what's happening potentially in Ukraine, somebody like Blair is going to have an impact on how people feel about that situation? Can it be that simplistic?
It's scraping the barrel, Pippa.
It really is, isn't it?
You know, and I think it shows you how desperate some of the Western press are, some of the editors and the controllers of the press in the West are, you know, through to actually try and put a point of view which spins things in their direction. And I mean, we're at the point where when Tony Blair gets wheeled out, I mean, is anybody actually going to take him seriously or not? I mean, there are a few people who maybe don't have time to look that deeply into matters. And, you know, this is a wake-up call for everybody to actually spend a bit of time and do a bit of research for yourself. that possibly there will be a few people that will take Blair seriously, but honestly, I think he's an advert for whatever comes out of Blair's mouth. I think people will probably just think the opposite.
Let's hope so. Good Lord. Okay, Tony Gosling, thank you so much. I know you've got your own radio program to attend to. It's a pleasure.
That's right, Pippa. Thanks ever so much for having me on again.
Thank you very much, Tony. Bye-bye.